Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please. To John Rothstein, please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Arizona State head coach Bobby Hurley. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is being brought to you by our good friends at Geico. Did you know there is a quick way you could save money? Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers coverage for more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. Got a boat? Covered. How about homeowners or renters insurance? You bet Geico's got you covered. Go to Geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's Geico.com. And an unbelievable weekend in college basketball, and we start with a statement win by Kentucky against North Carolina in the CBS Sports Classic. North Carolina came into that game averaging just under 89 points a game this season against high major opponents. Kentucky was bigger, stronger, more physical on the backboards. Ashton Hagans' defense was sensational throughout the day. They tallied him at the end with 7 or 8 steals. Kentucky looked completely different against North Carolina than it had in its major test prior. Obviously, the opening night loss to Duke and the overtime loss at Madison Square Garden to Seton Hall. The tightening of Kentucky's rotation, quietly to me, is a big, big thing for the Wildcats moving forward. Because, you know, I remember I was at a Notre Dame practice last couple of years, and Mike Bray said to me that depth is overrated in games, and it's underrated in practice. And Kentucky, with Quade Green no longer in the rotation, in the program, played 8 players, double-figure minutes. E.J. Montgomery's minutes up front continue to dissipate in favor of John Calipari, only playing 3 bigs, P.J. Washington, Reed Travis, and Nick Richards. Kentucky looked nasty. Kentucky looked cohesive. Kentucky looked intact. Now, I thought North Carolina played as poorly as I've seen them play all season, with the exception of the loss in Michigan in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. But a lot of that is because of Kentucky. A lot of that is because of the way Ashton Hagans defended on the ball defensively. A lot of that is because of what Kentucky got out of its 3, 4, and 5 in Keldon Johnson, Washington, and Travis. But I do want to point this out. One game does not make a season. One 40-minute stanza does not all of a sudden mean that Kentucky arrived. You have to look at the overall body of work. Now, after Kentucky's performance against North Carolina, is it realistic to think that the Wildcats could be the team that many envision it to be this season? Absolutely. But this is still a Kentucky team that has yet to play a true road game, and it is still a Kentucky team that has not followed up a performance like we saw on Saturday with a similar performance in its next game. If Kentucky goes to Louisville on Saturday at the KFC Yum Center and beats a team in Louisville that's its in-state rival and has also already beaten Michigan State on its home floor, then I'm sold that Kentucky is officially joining the top 10 or 15 teams in the country. Until that, I am not sold. Need to see what happens on Saturday first. I was at the Villanova game, working the game for CBS on Saturday against UConn. A monster second half for Villanova. Vintage Villanova offense for one of the first or second times this season. We saw Villanova in the second half look like the Villanova teams we've seen the last 5 years. 20 assists on 27 made field goals. You saw other players emerge beyond Phil Booth and Eric Paschal. Big game for Joe Cremo. Big game, obviously, for Javon Quinterly, the talented freshman. And you look right now at the Big East, and you have to give an edge to Villanova because of what they've accomplished the last 5 years, 2 national championships, averaging 33 wins a season. But you also have to acknowledge the fact that the league right now is going to be essentially a pick'em in almost every game that we have this season, because out of all the 10 teams, each team is capable of beating the opponent. Marquette right now has the best resume of any team in the league. The Golden Eagles have beaten Louisville, they've beaten Wisconsin, they've beaten Kansas State, and they beat a very good Buffalo team, giving the Bulls their first loss last Friday night when Marcus Howard was absolutely sensational, showing Trae Young-like explosiveness in the second half, scoring 40 points. What can we say about St. John's? The Red Storm haven't hurt or helped themselves yet. 12-0. No major wins, obviously no bad losses. St. John's against Seton Hall Saturday night is a big-time game in the Big East, and it's a big-time game nationally, because Seton Hall made the decision, led by head coach Kevin Willard, to go all in with their non-conference schedule, and it paid off. After Saturday's win at Maryland, Seton Hall now has the two quad one victories it's going to need to make the NCAA tournament. The neutral site game over Kentucky at Madison Square Garden and the road win at Maryland. Kevin Willard's team right now would have to play itself out of the NCAA tournament picture after those two wins, and that's why this game for Chris Mullin on Saturday night in Newark at the Prudential Center against Seton Hall will be the ultimate litmus test. Because look right now at the games that St. John's has won. They beat VCU on the last possession at the Barclays Center. VCU looks like probably a postseason team, probably an NIT team. Cal they beat in a close game at the Barclays Center. Cal is a team that will finish in the bottom quarter of the Pac-12. And they also beat Georgia Tech in Miami in a neutral site game. Georgia Tech, while they did beat Arkansas at Arkansas last week, they've also lost a home game to Gardner-Webb and could be the worst team in the ACC. Just how good will St. John's overwhelming talent be when it gets into league play? We're going to find out Saturday night against Seton Hall, and we're also going to find out on New Year's Day night when St. John's hooks up with Marquette in Queens. Shamari Pons on one side, Marcus Howard on the other side. Who needs college football bowl games if you have Shamari Pons going against Marcus Howard? Now, a big storyline that obviously we're going to get more into with Bobby Hurley in a couple minutes is, if I can quote Billy Crystal in the Princess Bride, the Pac-12 is mostly dead, but it is not all dead, and that is because Arizona State has now been in a situation where it played the number one team in the country and won. It has been in a situation where it played a top 20 team in Mississippi State on a neutral court and then won, and now all of a sudden we have Arizona State becoming the team to beat in the Pac-12. And the most unbelievable thing to me about Saturday night's game at Kansas was this. Lugans Dort, the Sun Devil's star freshman who has been sensational throughout the first 2 months of the season, was 3 of 14 from the field against the Jayhawks, and Arizona State still found a way to win. How did that happen? And just how good can this Sun Devils team be? We'll find out when we talk to Bobby Hurley, the head coach of Arizona State, coming up next on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Arizona State made a national statement on Saturday night, beating Kansas. It was the first time in history that the Sun Devils beat the number one team at home in Tempe. And the head coach of the Arizona State Sun Devils is Bobby Hurley, and he joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And, Coach, what has life been like since Saturday night's victory over the Jayhawks?
Wow. It's been indescribable, really. On cloud nine. I mean, there's no better way to go into the holidays, other than, the euphoria, at that moment. And what our guys did was pretty special. And you don't get many opportunities, like this, in our business, where you have the number one team and you're trying to build a fan base and revitalize the fan base, and to have the number one team here and have an opportunity to win a game like that. It does, it does so much for our program.
Now, you were one of the more decorated players in the history of college basketball, but you are now emerging as a coach. You're in your sixth year overall and you're fourth at Arizona State. How are the highs of wins like Saturday against Kansas compared to the highs that you had as a player when you were at Duke?
Well, in a lot of ways, it's better. I'm responsible for more than myself. There's a lot of people that put so much work into what we do, our coaching staff, their families, obviously our players, and And just, you know, I know what those moments feel like from a player standpoint. So you just hope that you put your team in a position that they could create memories like this. And there's no better scene than to see, you know, our players out on the floor celebrating after that game and all the work they put in, you know, like all programs do. But, you know, in July and in the fall and getting ready to have a chance to win games like that.
You know, Bob, I remember watching the 2015 National Championship game between Duke and Wisconsin, and when the final buzzer went off, Coach K jumped up and he pumped his fist, but then he quickly gathered himself and then went and sought Bo Ryan. And I watched you Saturday night, and while you were excited about the win, you were very composed, you made sure you acknowledged Bill Self, and then you went to your family. How much is winning with class, especially as soon as the game ends in big moments, something that you took away from the experiences you had under Coach K?
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to have some empathy, and you know, even in that moment where you're so excited, you got to try and hold it together and be composed, and you know, acknowledge, you know, the other team and their coaches because they put forth, you know, an outstanding effort. They made it a heck of a college basketball game, so you just want to acknowledge that as best you can, and you know, being on the other side of it, you know how it feels, so you just, you know, you hope that you could share, you know, with the other coach briefly just how hard his team played and how good his team played.
This is your fourth year at Arizona State. You took Buffalo to the NCAA tournament before you went west. Why has winning at the high major level been significantly harder than maybe you thought it was when you first took your current post?
Well, I think, John, my first year, we were 10-3 in the non-conference and played fairly well, but I picked a bad year to enter the Pac-12. We had I think we had seven teams in the tournament that year, and I got a taste of, you know, just the depth of the talent in the Pac-12, and a lot of those guys have gone on to pro careers now, but it was a special year, and just getting a chance to see what the talent looked like at UCLA and USC and Arizona and all those programs, I knew that I had my work cut out for me in recruiting, and we got after it pretty hard. I think we addressed some of our weaknesses. Our defense has vastly improved. Our athleticism and sizes and mobility has improved. And, you know, we're one of the better rebounding teams in the country. And that's, you know, we weren't close to anything like that my first 3 years.
Arizona State head coach Bobby Hurley joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Sun Devils 9-2 after Saturday's win over number one Kansas. You had a team last year that beat Kansas as well in Lawrence and got off to a great start, made the NCAA tournament, but it was a run and gun team. It was a team that lived obviously with great guard play and quick shots. This team is more blue collar and hard nose. Now that you've coached both styles, if you could pick a way to play moving forward at Arizona State, what would it be?
It's just going to be whatever fits and makes the most sense for the players we have in the program. We want to try and recruit, you know, high character players. You know, we want to find guys like Zion Cheatham, you know, guys that, you know, super unselfish, you know, crazy athlete, you know, just does a little bit of everything for our team, versatile defender, plays both ends of the floor, great communicator and leadership qualities. Like, you know, you could play him in almost any style, and you'll find a way to be successful if you have a guy like Zion Cheatham on the floor. And, you know, we were fortunate to get, you know, a guy like Lou Dort, who's a program changer for a freshman, and Tayshaun Cherry, another guy that really stepped up, you know, in our Kansas game and hit some big shots and had some good defensive plays with steals. So to answer your question, it's just, you know, get the best players you could get and just try and make it work. And last year we were smaller, but we could put points on the board, and you know, it was harder to sustain it defensively and rebounding this year, where there's just multiple ways that we can win basketball games. So I like the group that we have this year.
Well, you know, it's interesting you brought up Lou Dort, because I think that one of the things that was kind of lost in the shuffle from Saturday night's big win is Lugans Dort did not have his best game against Kansas, and you guys still were able to win the game. He was 3 of 14 from the field. What does that say, obviously, about the ceiling of the team that you're coaching?
Yeah, I just think it means we have balance and we have depth, and Lou had a great start, and he's a terrific player, and he's got an unbelievable future in front of him, but there'll be days as a freshman that he may not have his A game, and we have guys like Rob Edwards who come off the bench and get 15 points, and you know, he's just rounding into form now after his injury, and you know, we played through him struggling at Nevada, you know, on neutral in Nevada and at Georgia, and he started to find himself in the second half of the Vandy game, and really was a star for us against the best team in the country. And same could be said for Remy Martin, who's now just getting to the point where he's getting back in a groove and 100% physically. And you saw the great shots that Remy made down the stretch to help close out that game.
You know, Bob, you've been very aggressive in the way you've scheduled during the non-conference portion of the schedule, and it's obviously going to pay off for you this year. It paid off last year in your hopes of making the NCAA tournament. You beat Kansas Xavier and Kansas State. What made you want to take that approach when you first got the Arizona State job?
Well, I thought, if we put ourselves in tough spots consistently, that, it forces your players to circle the wagons, and there was nowhere to hide, Saturday night. It was a ton of pressure, number one team on your home floor. You think you have the team to beat them. And what are we going to do? What's our response? How are we going to play in these moments? And it was a beautiful thing to see your team respond the way you do and know that, you're one of the best teams in the country. And I think with the guys, their confidence will build off of this. As we keep playing big games the rest of the season, hopefully there'll be some carryover effect to where it's not unusual to be playing in these type of games. And if you have the right team, to schedule this way, it's worked out for us the last 2 years because we've had the team that could stand up to it. And so it's really worked in our favor.
Arizona State head coach Bobby Hurley joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Sun Devils 9-2 wins over Kansas and Mississippi State right now. And the dynamic that your team is going to face in what looks to be a down year for the Pac-12 is nothing new for you, but it's going to be completely new for your players, because for Pac-12 teams in conference play that see Arizona State, they know they're going to have an opportunity, if they win, to pick up a Quadrant 1 victory. How much will you use the lessons you learned at Duke as a player in terms of being the hunted with your players moving forward over the next couple of weeks and months in terms of what it's going to take to handle expectations and everybody else's best shot?
Yeah, very good question. That could be a draining process. You just got to try and keep your team very fresh, try and keep your team focused on getting better and all the things that we preach in our practices and just stay consistent to what we've been doing that has gotten us to this point and not getting out of character, guys will, their roles will change some as the year goes on, but we're pretty much, we are who we are. We'll get better and develop in some ways, but we just got to be prepared to know that, like you said, the teams will view us as an opportunity, and we got to be ready for the challenge every time. And I think what we did with scheduling, again, addressed that some. We went on the road for an SEC 2-game road trip and put ourselves in hostile environment, very good crowd at Georgia and Vanderbilt. We had 2 games in 3 days and on the road, and just tested our team. We were ranked number 18 in the country. And for Georgia and Vandy, those were big games. So we've already been in that spot. Hopefully, it'll pay off for us as we keep going.
Now, Bob, I'm not a person to obviously go down memory lane, but you're, somebody who's going to deal with this right now in terms of being the hunted. When you won a national championship at Duke the next year, and nobody really talks about this historically, your team lost 2 games, once on the last possession at North Carolina, and then once on the final possession or two against Wake Forest, and your team went on to win a national championship. How did you handle what was going on so well, and what did you notice as a player playing that season after you won a national title compared to the seasons before when you were just a team that went to a Final Four?
Yeah, I remember after that Final Four just being exhausted. It was, again, it was a pretty draining year to be at everyone's bullseye, and on everyone's schedule every time, and the crowds were always, more hostile than normal, and, we were what everyone wanted to be, able to knock us off, and so I thought we handled it pretty well. We had great leadership, obviously great coach, and we have veteran players that have been through a lot of wars for years together. So that's kind of a difference maybe in college basketball now, is you just don't have teams that stick around as long. And kind of, we just had a great understanding of each other and how we played and what we needed to do to be successful.
every day, every coach evolves, and you're evolving as a coach. You're a different coach now versus when you were at Buffalo. You told me that the years you spent under your brother Dan as an assistant at Wagner on Rhode Island really made you into the coach that you are. You got 60% or so of your practice drills from your brother Dan. Obviously, you played for your father, who's a Hall of Famer, and you played for Coach K. But I'm curious, right now, as you feel like you're coming into your own, what is Bob Hurley created for himself at Arizona State that he owns as a head coach that he didn't take from somebody else?
I mean, I just think my eyes are wide open. I watched Dan very close. I watched how he led. I watched how he messaging the team. You know, the things that you say to your team have tremendous impact. You know, and I still go to Dan. Like, Dan and I talked before a Kansas game, and he led me down a path with my pregame messaging to the team, and certain things that I said were stuff that I got from him. So he's still helping me, John. But yeah, I mean, it's like what I was talking about earlier. Like, you practice hard, you know, you try and be humble, you try and be grounded. You know, you get after it, you know, you coach with passion, you try and execute a plan, you know, that you think is, you know, things that your team does well, and work on them and limit how your weaknesses are exposed. And I don't know, it's a whole thing that goes into doing this. I wouldn't say that I follow a set plan of how I go about my business.
You know, Bob, I remember, my God, probably 8 or 9 years ago right now, we did a piece for CBS. It was me, you, your brother Dan, and your father, and talked about your family and the bond between the three of you. And, you know, we talked about the period in your life when you weren't involved with basketball, when you were doing other things in regards to horses. When you think about what you experienced the other night, and you think about, obviously, what you went through last year in building this program, do you ever, maybe if you're going for a run or if you're driving to work alone, you think about, what if I never came back and got to experience this?
Yeah, I mean, just being in that locker room with that team after that game, all the work they put in and how difficult that game was and how electric and dynamic it was to have a chance to be in that moment, it was special, you know, and so much work goes into it on the practice floor for months and months to have a chance like that. But it's hard to replace experiences like that. Getting to share that, you know, with guys who you go to work with every day, and to see them experience that and partially be responsible for helping them get there. It's such a rewarding feeling. And so I can't imagine myself doing anything else. I feel like at home when I'm on the court and I'm in those games, I feel like I'm in my element. It's crazy. I think about 9 years ago, I was coaching my son's, youth basketball team. That was the extent of my coaching experience. But I've come a long way since then.
What was the lowest point for you personally in your efforts to build Arizona State?
There were several. Like, from a competitive standpoint, I mean, I think my second year we, you know, at the Garden and playing Purdue and that game was very lopsided to play. You kind of remember how you felt in those moments. That makes you even work harder and not want to go back there again. And not to say that I won't want to go back to the Garden, but that particular game just was a low point. It was a game versus Kentucky and at the Atlantis in the Bahamas that we didn't perform and were kind of embarrassed in that game as well. So there are games like that you never forget, and you hold on to that so that you make sure that do the best job you can not to experience that again.
Arizona State head coach Bobby Hurley joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Sun Devils 9-2 after Saturday's monstrous win over Kansas. Well, it's December and you feel good. You beat the number one team in the country. You have a win over Mississippi State. But this is not uncharted territory for your program, because 12 months ago, you were in a similar position. Why is this team right now maybe more suited to sustain success than the team you coached a year ago?
I just think we have a lot of guys that came back from that team or went through last year. I think have learned from it, you know, will grow from it. Guys sitting out are experienced players, leaders, you know, winners. And I think, like I touched on earlier, I think the way the team is built, it's constructed to be more sustainable, because you can count on defense and rebounding as things that you know you could do consistently night in and night out, even if the shots aren't falling. Like, we missed so many layups in our Kansas game. I think there was so many ways that we could have played better in that game, and we just, you know, couldn't execute some shots, some easy shots that we can normally make. But if we don't do that, we got guys that go to the glass, that rebound, that generate more second chance points. You know, I think our defense across the board's better because we're bigger, and you know, we got Dort and Remy Martin that could pressure the ball, and you know, we got rim protection. So there's a lot of reasons that I think we'll be in a lot of basketball games and give ourselves a lot of chances to win.
You know, Bob, obviously NCAA tournament bids are not awarded in November and December, but when you win games the magnitude that you have against Mississippi State and Kansas, they go a long way in March. You saw that a year ago with the wins that you had. But how much was the experience that you went through last year in terms of just dealing with the bubble and being on the bubble something you want to avoid moving forward, considering what you dealt with leading up to the brackets coming out?
Yeah, it felt awful. You know, the last couple of days going into there, knowing that you think you had a season, obviously didn't turn out the way you wanted in league play, but you know, we had some wins that no one could take away from us against two number one seeds. So I felt like the guys had done enough to earn the right to play in the tournament. But it was not easy, and it was very stressful on the whole program to not know your fate. So we want to take care of our business this year and control our destiny as much as possible. I have not even talked to the team a ton about the non-conference. In my practices, I'm dropping hints about Pac-12 teams that we need to get ready to start playing against. And so my focus in my messaging to the team was like, hey, we need to do a better job in league play. You know, we need to contend for a Pac-12 championship. We got to compete in the Pac-12 tournament to win a tournament championship. So we have a lot of work ahead of us. And I know that we've been focusing on doing a better job in our league. And I know our players have been hearing that from the coaches, and they'll continue to hear that over the next couple of weeks.
Final thing, you're in a great spot right now at 9-2. You have two marquee wins. You also beat a very good and underrated Utah State team. We know about Dort. We know about Cheatham. We're aware of Remy Martin and others. If there is one off-the-radar piece that you think needs to emerge for Arizona State, not to just have a chance to make the NCAA tournament again, but to get a high seed in advance, who is it?
Well, I don't think this is a guy that really needs to do a ton more, but he's an important guy. Is Kamani Lawrence. I didn't really speak about him today, but he's just had a tremendous offseason. Really big wing, could shoot it, rebounds, does a little bit of everything for us. He's averaging around 12 a game at 22 points versus Mississippi State in a big win, hit a big three late in that game. You know, he's got that could have a great impact on what we do, and may not be squarely on the radar of your opponents when they're talking about trying to work on stopping Dort, containing Remy Martin, keeping Cheatham off the backboard, you know, not allowing Rob Edwards to score. All these things coaches might think about when they're game planning for Arizona State. Like, Kamani Lawrence finds a way to score and make plays for us, and that's a big influence on what we're doing.
Well, Bob, we appreciate a couple of minutes. Congratulations on a great start. Stay healthy. Enjoy the holidays with your family, and look forward to staying in touch down the road.
Very good, John. Happy holidays to you and the family. Thank you.
We'd like to thank Arizona State head coach Bobby Hurley for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Hillary McSwain. And it's, John, where do you see Virginia going from here? Bigger question, your thoughts on how Virginia matches up with Duke in the ACC. I voted Virginia number one with my AP vote last week. I think right now the Cavaliers look like the best team. This is one thing I took away from watching Duke live in person last Thursday against Texas Tech at Madison Square Garden. Duke is unbelievable in transition. the best transition team in terms of their upside in college basketball and the team that has the highest ceiling in college basketball. But Texas Tech was able to stifle their offense when the game was slower. So I left that game thinking, if this is how Duke is going to respond against Texas Tech, you have to say to yourself, Virginia still has a decisive edge over the Blue Devils when it comes to the ACC. And it goes back to what I always say. Returning players in college basketball always usurp incoming ones in the sport. We now go to Addison Hunsaker, and it's John. What do the Temple Owls have to do in American Conference play to make the big dance in Fran Dunphy's last season? Temple has very quietly gotten off to a good start, but you have to be in a situation now where you move the needle against teams that are picked to go to the NCAA tournament or have a chance. Temple's games against Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF will be monstrous for this team and for Fran Dunphy. And look, I mean, let's face it, you're Temple right now, and you have a 10-2 record. I think you need to go 12-6 or 13-5 in the American, and you also have to find a way to beat Penn when you play them in January. And I also want to point out Steve Donahue doing a tremendous job with this basketball team at Penn. The situation obviously was difficult. Ryan Bentley, their top scorer from a year ago, was lost for the season when they won their opening game against George Mason, but Steve Donahue doing a tremendous job, okay? And that will be another big spot for Penn to play January 19th at Temple. Big Five Showdown. Steve Donahue, of course, worked for Fran Dunphy as an assistant. So that's my thoughts on Temple. Got to win games to move the needle. And our next question is going to be, with a couple of the power conferences being so weak, and this is from Drew Malone, will allow any mid-majors to pick up at-large bids? Look, I feel confident in saying this. With the way things look right now, unless Buffalo and Nevada completely go by the wayside in the MAC and the Mountain West respectively, they would be at-large teams if the NCAA tournament started today and they didn't win their conference tournaments. But with that said, I still think there's other teams to keep an eye on in those respective leagues. To me, I'd love to see what we're going to get out of Fresno State. Fresno State, you know, just being in a situation where you see what they're doing offensively. They're scoring the ball at a high rate. They're being coached well by Justin Hudson, who, if everybody remembers, had a major hand in those successful San Diego State teams under Steve Fisher. And they've got real guard play, quality guards that can really put things together. Braxton Huggins, the transfer from New Mexico State, has been sensational. Fresno State, a team to watch in the Mountain West Conference. One you want to put on your radar if you're a true college basketball junkie. Now, let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, depth of the pack. NC State has 10 different players averaging between 13.3 and 25.2 minutes. Crazy depth for the Wolfpack. Wolfpack under Kevin Keats, remember this, they're 11-1, led Wisconsin for 38 minutes in Madison before losing, could easily be 12-0, and they fell to the Badgers by 4 in that game. Nugget number two, need more kale in your diet. Seton Hall is 13-6 over the past two seasons when Miles Kale makes at least one three-point shot. This guy needs to keep emerging alongside Miles Powell for Kevin Willard's crew to go to the NCAA tournament for the fourth consecutive season. Nugget number three, hard to guard. How about Marvin Clark's last five games for St. John's? Just under 17 points, just over six rebounds, shooting 62% from the field and 59% from three. Going to be tough to guard him in the Big East with a traditional five-man. Nugget number four, off the radar. LSU has become a forgotten team nationally after two losses in Orlando to Oklahoma State and Florida State. This team still has top 20 talent. Not many teams will have four better big men than Will Wade and LSU. Nugget number five, hitting the road. Four of Nevada's next six games will be true road games, and they're going to play in some very difficult places at Utah on Saturday, at New Mexico, at Fresno State, and Boise State as well in the start of Mountain West play. Any loss that the Wolfpack will suffer will end with a court storm. Now let's get to some games to watch brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Games to watch.
a quiet week in college basketball with the holidays, but five good ones on Saturday. Obviously, Kentucky at Louisville, Nevada at Utah, Belmont at Purdue, Wisconsin at Western Kentucky, a dangerous game for Wisconsin, and then, of course, St. John's at Seton Hall. We'd like to thank Arizona State head coach Bobby Hurley for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.